What's up, everyone? Tyler Dunn here with Go Long. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast and reading everything at golongtd.com. Make sure you subscribe to get all features, all player profiles, podcasts, and of course, our entire 2024 NFL draft coverage. Bob McGinn's 9-part series will be starting in a couple weeks, so you are not going to want to miss that. He is talking to execs and scouts all over the country. Hey, it is time for us to check in with Chase Edmonds. You may remember that down in South Florida 2 years ago, 3-part series, Chase guided readers through his entire life. High school, finding out he's going to be a dad, scared shitless, not knowing what's going to come next in his life, to college, on the verge of running for more yards than anybody in the sport's history. And then he suffers an ankle injury that slips him into a really dark depression that he opened up on in its entirety. That's part two. And then part three was going to be everything ahead. Miami, Mike McDaniel, this offense, Tua. Chase really believed he was a perfect fit for an offense that was about to set the league ablaze. He'd be central to everything. And it did not go according to plan. Not at all. We kind of pick up where we left off then. What happened in Miami? He was angry. He was full of rage. He wasn't himself, dropping passes, not seeing the field like he once did. But like he always does, he got back on track. Miami to Denver to Tampa Bay. Now he's on an NFC contender. Thrilled to play with Baker Mayfield, Rashad White, and everything still ahead. You're not going to want to miss this. Thank you so much for checking out this podcast episode. You can also get the written Q&A at the website. I greatly appreciate you for reading, listening, and sharing with a friend. Enjoy. You been, man? It's been a couple years.
T, good to see you, bro. First, man, just appreciate you having me. It's been good though. The last 2 years, you know, just being able to like find a home in Tampa, get some stability going, and really the run that we had last year obviously was just really, really cool to be a part of. You know, we start off 3-1 really hot and then kind of go through some adversity, get to like 4-7. And then really just to go on that run and, you know, be a half away from playing for an NFC championship game was awesome, bro. So just cool to get the band back together, get the guys back in town, and, you know, really try to hit this thing full speed ahead early on.
I got to say, yeah, that consistency, continuity, just running it back with a sense of calm personally has got to be nice because, you know, I wanted to pick this back up where we left it, man. Last time I saw you, Miami, Mike McDaniel offense, everything's new contract.
You're
working out like Rocky, right, with Nick Hicks's gym. The future seemed to be bright right there in Miami, and then they move on. You go to Denver, and then you don't know where your career is going to go from there. You get to Tampa. So what, I guess start there in Miami. Like, what happened?
You know, I was just playing bad ball, bro, which is kind of like to look back on it and to, like, think about it. It was no other way around it. I used to when I first went through it, like when I first got done with the Denver season. So I mean, yeah, that was really the same season, and I had just got released, first time getting cut in my life, and it was I just remember like, damn, like how the hell did I get here? Like how did I get to this point? You know, like just 7 months ago, like signed the biggest contract in my life and kind of, you know, looking for like, you know, I finally can prove that I am who I say I am. And for like everything that was what happened and just be playing the worst ball in my entire life, not just professional, you know, like that was the worst ball I was playing in my entire life. And it became such a mental battle for me. Really just like, it was a lot of growth. You know, now that I look back at like hindsight's 2020, it got me a lot closer to God, which I'm forever grateful for that standpoint, just of who I am as a man today, who I am as a person, who I am as Chase, you know, But to like look back at that and like look at like what I wanted for myself and what my goals and aspirations were, and for it to go the complete opposite was such a humbling experience. And that just like, you know, you never know what life is gonna throw at you, bro. You know? And to get to this point now and to like go through that adversity, kind of go through those trials and tribulations, like you said, we're like, I'm going into Tampa earlier this year. And like, you already know, you're kind of fighting for your career at that point, you know, just, especially at the running back position, bro. Like, they dudes get done faster than fast. So, to be at that spot and like go through, I mean, I messed up my MCL pretty good middle of the season. And I was kind of like, damn, bro, like this couldn't happen at a worse time. To be able to like finish the season strong, second half, and be a part of that and be able to do enough to where these guys want me back. And I have a good spot in the locker room. I have a good spot on the team. I have a good role, you know, kind of trying to get back to my role and get back to my explosiveness. In a really good spot right now, you know what I'm saying? And just being able to work on that and continue to get better and better every single day and just focus on what I can focus on, control what I can control. I'm excited for next season.
Man, I was thinking about you from afar with
Yeah.
Miami and how it ended there. And then, I mean, Denver's a nightmare.
I
Living
know
through the
I got to Denver, bro, and literally it was my second game there, just learning the playbook. They were actually about to let me spin. It was against the Raiders. And second carry, high sprained ankle. Like running, breaking a tackle, and like leg just gets caught up behind me. High sprained ankle. And I was like, dog, God, I can't catch a break. I can't catch a break right now. But that, like I
Right,
said, bro,
because that
that's
takes
how
you back
life
to
is.
college when you're depressed. I mean,
Yeah,
that was an ankle.
yeah, yeah, yeah. That, you know, that takes you back, and it's just like, damn, bro, like what the hell is going on right now? But you know, by God's grace, I made it through, man, and I'm blessed to be here, and I'm ready to just continue to work hard. And I got 3 more years left in me, T. My goal when I came into the league was year 10. I'm getting to 10. You know, I don't know how it's gonna happen. I don't know how it's gonna look, but T, I'm letting you know right now, brother, I'm getting to 10.
Dude, 10 years as a running back. I mean,
Yeah,
those
I'm gonna
stats
get it.
in
I'm
today's
gonna get
NFL,
it. Right, no,
that's
I'm gonna get it though,
amazing.
bro.
And you know,
I
for
appreciate
those
it.
listening, I mean, God, everything you've been through, it's we have a three-part series up, you know, high school, finding out you're gonna be a dad, scared
Yeah.
shitless, not knowing where your life's gonna
Right.
go,
Right.
get to college, you're gonna set the NCAA rushing record, right? And then this ankle injury
Senior.
sends you into this.
Yep.
So, and then Arizona, Miami. I imagine the reason we're probably even talking about year 7 and maybe a year 10 is when shit goes down, you know how to handle it. Like you
Right.
know how to
Like
mentally
adversity. Yeah.
process these moments that could crush most running backs, right?
Right. Right. And this was the hardest one. It really was, bro. Just 'cause like, if you want to call it pressure, you can call it pressure. But like after the contract I signed, obviously you have a lot of expectations. And I was ready for the expectations. Like I wanted the expectations. I dreamed of having that, you know, that headline around my name. And then like again, for you as a man, especially as a competitive man, like you've always been great at this one thing in your life, which is football. For you to literally just be playing bad ball and then you start getting in your head and like you like, damn, I can't even catch the ball. I had 3 drops my whole career, year 1 through 4. I'm over here having 5 drops in 5 games. Like it was, bro, it was just crazy. You know, it was really hate that it happened, love that it happened, like that type of thing, like because of the growth of like what I've learned about myself. But still because like that was my one opportunity that, you know, like I could finally have all eyes on me in a sense. But I believe, you know, everything that truly does happen for a reason. It put me in positions where I met certain people in my life that have changed my life since that day. So I feel like, you know, God puts us through things where you may expect one thing and it has a whole different meaning that you just don't find out until, you know, later down in time. And that's kind of how it is for me. You know, if I don't have that chapter of Miami for me, I don't grow the way I've grown the last year and a half as a man, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. I don't meet certain people that I've met since Miami that have changed my life for the better, 100% for the better, you know, and avenues that have nothing to do with football, but just as a man, as a businessman, you know, whether it's connections, whether it's just friendships. So I'm finally at that point in my life where like, I no longer look at that chapter with like I guess you could say embarrassment. I'm trying to think of another word, but just like negative emotion, you know what I mean? And I now I'm like at the point in my life where like I look at that chapter like no, like that chapter of my life is going to be the area like time of my life where one, I always remember it for multiple reasons, but two, just because of growth and just like what it's done to me as a man, like how much I've grown since that.
Man, that's real. It was just playing poorly then. It wasn't one thing you could point to as a
Right.
reason for
Yeah.
not having success that you were having. Was it drop balls, maybe not
Yeah.
seeing cut lanes? Is it basic football stuff or snowballing?
I think it, I mean, I think it started off as just, I don't know what, like, what really triggered it, but I know once I started playing bad ball, I started getting filled with just like rage and anger. And it was just like, damn, bro, like, ain't shit going right. Like, and I think one thing just led to the next. And then I kind of like, in any sport, like, you'll see it in like golfers. You'll see it in like basketball players that go through like crazy cold shooting streaks. You know what I'm saying? Like once you get in this streak of like, damn, what the hell is going on? Especially when you know you can do so much better. You know what I mean? Like when your expectation and when you put up, you've always played well, and then like the one thing that you've always done playing well, you just like you no longer can do it for a period of time. Now it's so much in your head. You're like, bro, why can't I catch the ball? Bro, why can't I do like it's crazy, especially when you're a competitor. When you're a competitor, it's not like you're somebody that truly just doesn't care, doesn't give it anything. Like, I'm gonna just go out here and if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, I'll go home and collect my check and but like when you're someone that actually cares, that's when the mental battle is even that much harder because now like you already are putting so much more pressure on yourself. And I think that's just what it was. And for whatever reason, it went down like that, and that's how you live and grow, and you learn about shit, and that's what I've done.
Man, what's that state like rage when you're just angry? And you're right, it's not like you're trying to drop the
Yeah,
ball. You're
it's
trying to
pretty,
like.
yeah, it's ass, bro. I'm big on vibrations now, actually. Like that's so funny. Like you asked Rashad White, I always have this joke to him, like keep them vibrations up, just keep your vibrations up. Everything is gonna be all right. You got some high vibrations, you know what I'm saying? Things are working stuff out, things get better before you know it. Just have a positive outlook on every single situation.
That's who
So
you want to
yeah,
be
like being
around. Yeah, he's
you wanna be
the.
around good you wanna be around good energy, bro. I tell people all the time now, like I'm just about good energy and just ain't no nothing about nothing. Just good energy, just all love, just keeping it cool, keeping it happy, figuring a way like to obviously it's an intense game that we play. But always finding positives in that intense game and finding positives and just the experiences that we have.
You said that you met some people that helped you at that point. Like, who did you meet that helped you get back
So
on
like two
track
people I
and
met, yeah, two people I met, and this had nothing to do with football, was just this guy, Caleb Thornhill, and he at the time he was the directional director of, I don't know if it was football operations for Miami, but it was I think it might have been director of football operations. I'm not quite sure. Caleb Thornhill and Chip Pawsik, which is his co-founder for this community they created called PAC. And PAC just stands for Pro Athlete Community. And it essentially, like Caleb, he's no longer at Miami anymore. He's actually at the San Antonio Spurs now. But he essentially got like a calling to God to where he was seeing, obviously in the building where he was working and just being around NFL guys. He was seeing so many guys go through like financial hardships or so many guys really like struggle to transition through the next chapter of their life when it comes to, what's next after football, And so he ends up, deciding to start this thing called PAC, which is Pro Athlete Community, where through his extensive network and Chip Pawsik, so Chip is a great, great mentor of mine. He was the co-founder of an educational platform called 2U. CEO for that, co-founder of that, did really well with that and ends up like getting connected with Caleb and really liked the vision that he had and really wanted to help out two genuine guys that really care. So they start this thing called PAC and essentially, they create a network of like whether it's CEOs, people who run like real estate syndications or just people who are successful business people, in all categories, in all sectors, that, want to connect and want to really help guys in their transition of like, whether it's finding out your interests, finding out, what you want to do in life or just, just connecting to connect. And, They've been going strong now for like 6 years, but it's really picked up speed the last two, three seasons. They actually got another business combine coming up here in Tampa, April 24th to the 28th. And just, I mean, I always encourage all the young guys, especially in the league, just to like get involved with that now because, you know, the league ends, you know, it stands for not for long for a lot of guys. And it ends faster than you can think that it will ever end. And for me, just meeting those two guys really, you know, changed my mindset business-wise and how I look at the assets that I own and how I just look at, you know, me, Chase Edmonds, the man, not just a football player, building on my, you know, just building on my portfolio, my profile. And just knowing that, you know, when this game stops one day, like I won't be one of those guys lost. You know, that's something that I'm really adamant on to young guys in the locker room now. They had a saying that I always took from one of our business combines, and it was like, the football can either be your first meal or your last meal. And that really stuck with me just because, you know, like the first meal in the sense that usually the guys that get drafted in the NFL, like that's your first big paycheck, you know, like first big paycheck, you get to the NFL, you finally accomplished all your dreams. And, you know, for you to work so hard and to have all these blessings given upon you and then to just kind of like not prepare yourself, you know, it's terrible. Like that's nothing but ignorance, you know. So I'm very adamant on guys just like being smart with their money, asking questions, learning what they can do to grow their money so that when they do get out of football, finding other passions to where like they're not lost, they're not a statistic, you know, because it is really sad. And I hate that for my brothers just because I think football is like there's no other locker room like a football locker room, you know, in any other sport. It's just the locker room, the brotherhood that comes in with that locker room because of how much we practice, how much time we have to spend together, the blood, the sweat that you have to spend together. It's no other locker room feel in any other sport than like football. And so, you know, you grow a lifelong friendship with these guys. I was just at Kirk's bachelor party 2 weeks ago celebrating him getting married. So, you know, you grow these relationships with people and, you know, you want to see them do well post football for sure.
I mean, business wise, you had the idea for the
Yeah.
rap scene. Any
And
updates there?
I'm still going, brother.
Still at it. Okay.
So it's crazy you asked that. So we're probably about 3, 4 months before we do like a local launch. I actually got far enough to where I convinced a co-founder to take on 20% of the company. He's my CTO co-founder. And you know, we're steadily working on that. We just hired basically a product discovery manager. So basically all that is it's a fancy word for someone that, you know, I've got the app a lot farther than anybody probably ever thought I would get in that, not knowing what the hell I was doing, just trying to figure things out. So now just really tightening up like the future financial model projections, scalability. A lot of questions like ROI, cash burn rate, that a lot of questions that investors are going to ask that I have no idea about. So really just learning to understand my business more than what I ever thought I did understand it before I can really go in front of people and show them what I'm trying to make. So it's a little bit of a different concept than what I first told you because the world has changed so much in 2 years, believe it or not, like technically speaking, you know, like with AI. Just with TikTok and with how people perceive information, how they perceive content. So, but definitely, I think that, you know, it's something I'm very excited to do. You know, succeed or fail, it's been a cool journey, bro. Just learning like how to really run a business, how to structure a business, organize a business. It's cool, and you know, it keeps me busy in the off season, like giving me something to do other than just worry about, you know, professional football right now. I think it's important for younger guys to like find a passion in something. Like I know when I'm done, I want to do something with entrepreneurship, regardless. Whether it's in tech, whether it's entrepreneurship through acquisition, I know that I have found another passion that I can, you know, go and do life. And I think it's important for guys to really do life. And so that's that.
Well, then you're going to want to stay in Florida. You know, I'm in New York State where we have to give
Yeah.
away quite a bit of
Oh
earnings
yeah.
to
Not
run a
going to
business. Yeah.
New York,
That was
brother.
right. You mentioned the Bills and free
Yeah,
agency. That was one reason
definitely
to
not doing
maybe
that.
not go to Buffalo, you said.
Yeah.
But football wise, gosh, you're in this state of rage and anger and upset, and it's not going the way you ever envisioned with the Dolphins to Denver and the losing. And gosh, it seems like it was really bad on the outside looking in. But you personally, what was the turning point? Like, when did you kind of start moving toward this direction with this outlook on life and football?
Well, yeah. So the thing about Denver was, and like it was unfortunate that Denver season was going how it was, because it was a really good locker room, bro. Really, really good locker room, full of a lot of good, great men. Like we ended up going to Aspen, like 22 of us after the season was over. Took a big old bus there, like, and I got on the team like week 10. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that just shows you like how like the good men that we had in that locker room, very devoted men, and that helped a lot with just like, just laughing at life again and just trying to get back to playing fun football and just having fun with it. So that was really the turning point for me, just the relationships that I had built in Denver. And then finishing, once I did come back from injury, for me, I think the turning point was probably the Kansas City game, because we were playing at Arrowhead. I mean, we already knew we were making the playoffs, but that was the game where I really got to spin a little bit. I think I ended up having like 70 total yards on like, like 7 or 8 touches. It was just a game that I really felt like back to myself. I had a seam route for like a 30-yard catch from Russ. It was a game where like I finally was getting some momentum back. And then I finished the last two games strong in Denver as well against the Chargers. And then I played well against the Rams, actually, we got killed. So that kind of was the turning point. I had known already I was gonna be let go by Denver. But the idea was that, the feeling was that I was, when I had my exit meeting, that I actually was gonna come back. We didn't have a head coach at that point, but front office, I felt really good about what I put on film the last 3 or 4 games there, that I was going to come back. And then obviously they hired Sean Payton, they want to move on, which I understood. And then it just kind of worked out with Tampa. And I had liked the situation at Tampa just because I knew, they had a guy, Rashad White, that they obviously wanted to go with. And that's my brother, man. I love him to death. And, but I knew that they kind of had question marks, behind him on the depth chart. So I just felt like it was a good fit for me. Ended up going there, and obviously, we had a solid season despite the injury. I mean, the injury kind of slowed me down a little bit, just like missing 5 games and then trying to get in the swing of things again. But ended up, finishing the last quarter and a half of the season strong, and looking just to build on that, bro. And I'm in a good spot right now, mentally, physically, all that. So just trying to just, enjoy life right now. And I'm looking to buy a home out here. Tampa really grew me a lot. Tampa's a wonderful city, so. That's a blessing in itself.
God, I think when we sat down to talk in Miami, it would have been the next day I drove to Tampa to see Rashad for that story. And it's wild. I mean, the things he saw in KC growing up to JUCO life, living with the cockroaches and the moldy bathroom. And
JUCO.
oh my God. I mean, I thought I knew what JUCO life was like until
Nah, it's
his
terrible.
stories break it into,
Only
buildings.
the real make it out of JUCO.
How did you guys hit it off? I mean, and how would you kind of describe that relationship?
Damn, I don't even really know when we started hitting on who. Like, Rashad's already a really good person, really energetic and lively person. And like, I'm a jokester too. So like, in the meeting room, we would always like say little subtle shit. And this is before we even really like knew each other, And then he just always asked a lot of questions just about life and everything. 'Cause he's a big kid, bro. Like, big man, physical, but he's just a big old kid. Like, that's what he is. And just started asking questions and everything. Next thing I know, he started calling me OG. I'm like, bro, stop calling me OG. I'm only in year six. Like, you gotta stop that right now. Like,
Year
I
seven
called
now
dudes
talking
OG
about year
year
ten.
seven now. Yeah. And I'm like, I called OGs like Larry and like Kelvin Beachum. Like, these dudes are like year 11. You know what I mean? Like, real OGs. And I got young guys calling me OG in year six,
They're
but that's
running
just,
back though, like that's like
yeah,
dog
that's
years,
your
right?
running
Late
back. That's
fifties.
what it is. That's what it is. The dog years. But yeah, man, we just really hit it off. Like, I think he would ask me questions just about like the play scheme, the play look, and how I see the safety, like the safety tilts and what I see in terms of defenses. So we really started hitting it off on football first. Watch film together a little bit here and there, and just talk ball, talk life, Tell stories about my times in Arizona, what it was like playing with Larry, what it was like playing with someone like Hop, you know what I mean? And then before you know it, man, that was like my bro and like my little bro. And we just always spend time together. We just went to St. Lucia together after the season, because like they didn't do a running back trip last year, and like I had always been in like crazy tight running back rooms, like with James Conner, my time with KD, and it just baffled me that these young kids, they were young, and I'm like, bro, y'all ain't going to a running back trip, like, what do you mean, like? So we made it a point that we was gonna have good vibrations in the running back room at all times. And that's kind of just how we hit it off there. So that's a cool dynamic in itself, just to be able to play with him and being such a small part of his journey and what he's doing. Like, I know the goals that he has for himself. So it's just cool, just to be able to like, just to try to push him mentally. on like, you know, what he goes through and what he's going to be going through, and just how he can see the game better, how he can understand the game better, you know, just be the best player that he can be.
And I can just see how being around Rashaun White would just put you in a good mood too.
Oh
Just
yeah,
talking to
man.
him
You know,
there, he
yeah,
just
man. He's
never
always
stops
laughing, always
smiling.
smiling. Right. Never, never.
I mean, that had to have helped you know, with where kind of where you were
Yeah.
at in your career, and you can help him as a
Right.
veteran. I mean, he's got a ton of talent. He could
Ton
be
of
something
talent.
special.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
In Tampa Bay, though, I mean, when you have the grade two MCL, did part of
Yeah.
you think, shit, here we go again? Like, is this it?
Yeah,
And
a little bit. 'Cause like it's crazy. I had just got it. They were finally gonna let me spin a little bit. This is like week three or week four or something like that against Chicago. I had just ripped off like an 18-yard run the drive before. So I was like, all right, yeah, we're starting it. We about to get it cooking again. We about to get it cooking. And on punt return, of course, like trying to block someone, my man like goes left. I'm ready to go left. And I bump knees with somebody, bro. And it just tweaks my MCL like so weird. And that was that. And yeah, it put me in a spot like, damn, here we go again. But I wasn't going back. I wasn't gonna go back down that rabbit hole again. I told myself that I was not gonna do that. So I just really tried to, obviously the first week, you know, you have moments where it's like you're really pissed and like you're just trying to get right. But man, Tampa's filled full of just great people. And the rehab team that we had at Tampa, you know, shout out to Bobby. Bobby's the head trainer there. He has built such a great staff, and it's just full of great people that actually care about you as the person. 'Cause I mean, there's some NFL teams that it's not like that at all. It's just a dog business, and they won't care about you. They'll try to rush you back on the field and just all sorts of stuff like that. But you know, Tampa Bay is full of great people, and you know, it starts all the way at the top. So, like I said, man, very fortunate to be here, end up here.
So have you heard some horror stories then down those lines? Just
Oh, you hear horror stories about all over the like teams, bro. And it's a shame, but that's just the way it is. It'll never fully be out of the NFL because it starts from the top. So I believe that the owners set expectations to the GM. The GM set, like, it goes all the way down from that way. And it just, until you have better owners for all 32 teams, it won't always be like that in all spots.
such a good
You
point. We tend to forget that because we never hear from owners, right? Like,
never hear
you
from
guys
them.
will talk to us after games.
Yeah, it's a
They can go
business,
years
bro.
without talking, so they're never really
Right.
held accountable, never really asked about any of this. It starts there.
It ain't it's nothing but a business, bro. Just how any other business is ran. The CEO sets expectations from down below, and it just trickles down. That's all it is. That's all it is.
It always blows my mind because we don't really hear enough about that aspect of
Right,
football, right? It's all
yeah.
kind of this dark underbelly to the league that,
Yep.
because I mean, as a player, you're going to want to play through anything. I'd imagine, you know, there's jobs on the, especially as a running back, jobs on the line.
Yeah.
Here comes another wave of collegiate prospects to take
Young guys,
jobs.
yeah,
So,
literally just take a job, yeah, literally.
and in Tampa, I mean, you
Literally,
guys
bro.
turned it on and you
Yep.
had the run you had at the end of the season. So what kind of sparked that? And I mean, Baker Mayfield, what's he like as a
Right.
quarterback? I heard your
I
GM say
love Big.
he's a number 10 on the prick scale, right?
Yeah, we love Big, man. And I think the cool thing to see about Big is like Big didn't come in like that, bro. You know, like Big came in to himself, just trying to earn everybody's respect and just work as hard as he could work every single day and be the best quarterback that he could be every single day, you know, like, and I think that was really the cool thing to see, like the development of just him get back to Baker Mayfield and like who you saw when he was at Cleveland, when he was at Oklahoma, like that charismatic, that prickness, that he just has that edge to him. And that, I think, man, that really started to inspire the team. We just started getting the edge off of that. Defense started playing well. Offense started playing well, started running the ball well. And it was just one of those things where like we were 4-7, our backs were against the wall, you know, and like people don't look at it like this, but like we had a team full of a lot of guys. I'm not going to say necessarily say with backs against the wall, but like looking to prove something. So like, and again, it starts at the top. Bucks got all, we're all, we got all, like the narrative was, we got all this dead cap. Can't make no moves. They got a draft and they're probably tanking for Caleb. So it started from there. And then it starts where we're at four. So he's like, now they're talking about firing Todd, even though the defense is going crazy. Baker Mayfield's on a 1-year prove-it deal, trying to, you know, get himself back in. And you got, you know, is Mike Abb declining? Like, you just have all these narratives going on in our team. And, like, you know, you got guys like Hall of Famers like Levante David not getting the respect he gets. Antoine Winfield not being Pro Bowler when he was clearly the best safety in the NFL. So, like, all these narratives going on with just guys just trying to prove themselves. And I think it was just a turning point, you know, when that Green Bay game really sparked it all. I think we had won two games prior to that. We had just won a close game in Atlanta, I think, the week before that. And we were playing Green Bay. And, like, to go into Lambeau Field, cold game, and to have the game that we had, man, it was awesome. And it just sparked something that just kept going moving forward.
That's a great point, because with so many guys, with so much to prove,
bro,
I can't think of
so many guys on that team. Right.
I mean, you'd want Baker Mayfield as your quarterback. Like, he's right. The perfect quarterback for that kind of team.
And I miss so many guys that I can name, but even someone like Dave Canales. Like, Dave had to wait 12 years to get his OC opportunity. He had to wait 12 years, bro. Hell of a coach. Like, hell of a coach. Carolina's going to be just fine with Dave Canales, you know, except against Tampa. But just fine, you know. And so, like I said, bro, just so many people that I'm not even naming that. It was just awesome. Like you said, someone that had like Baker. And then once we got that run, we got that edge, you know. We didn't have any doubt in our mind that we couldn't beat any team. We just felt like the way we were playing, the physicality of our team, the grit in our team, the effort in our team, and how close we were getting as a unit towards the end of the season, man. I mean, I'm excited for this season coming up because, again, nobody gave us a shot in the head. We had a lot of young guys, and we got a lot of those same guys coming back next year, and it's a lot of good guys in the locker room. I think that's the first thing that it starts with. When you have men that are just – they respect each other, they care for one another, they want to work with one another. Like, that's the foundation in itself. And now then the X's and O's come into play. And the details and the execution. But if you don't even have that foundation, bro, you won't get too far. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, you won't get too far.
That's right. It's not a sport that you can just explain in a bunch of numbers.
It ain't basketball. You can't just have LeBron show up 40, 12, and 15. And, you know, so.
And off of that shoulder injury in Cleveland, though, I've said it before on here, but Andy Janovich, you know, good friend of Baker Mayfield, fullback with the Browns. I think he put it best. He said, the thing about Baker is he won't say shit to anyone about anything. You could cut his dick off, but he wouldn't fucking say shit.
Right.
I'd imagine that's you funny. Saw that side of Baker Mayfield. Like, how
yeah,
how,
for
how
sure.
mentally, physically tough one of the guys is.
Man,
he,
definitely really? A warrior. Definitely a warrior. It was a play where I think we're at New Orleans. This is when I had already got hurt. We were watching on TV, and I think he got like – he threw the ball for a touchdown and then got high, low, and got, like, bent backwards like a pretzel. And I'm watching on the TV screen, and they show it slow, and they don't show him afterwards. So I'm like, damn, I know he ain't done for the season. Like, I'm thinking, like, he's bent backwards. They go into TV timeout because they got to get the structure coming out. Sure enough, he just fine. Get his ankle taped up, right back out there like nothing happened. But, yeah, man, just to see, like, you know, because he had a couple injuries with us too, and to see him just battle through it and, you know, not say, like you said, not say shit. And just really get that edge back was awesome to see.
Guys notice it too, right? When Tampa Bay will reward a quarterback like that. You know, Cleveland went a different route after he played through that shoulder injury. They traded all the picks for Deshaun Watson. It's a different story. But, I mean, Tampa rewards Baker, Mike Evans, keeps everybody kind of together. I don't know. I would imagine that is kind of talked about in a locker room.
Yeah, it is. Well, and, like, you know,
team stick around and sign.
Definitely, man. Definitely. And, you know, guys take out of that, you know, because, like, again, guys talk. People in the locker room talk, and NFL world is a small world. So things get out when you're not dealing with good people or just good folks. And when you are dealing with good people, good folks, it tends that more people want to work for you. So, yes, sir.
How close is this team to get into the Super Bowl?
I think when you're talking about it this early, you got to just focus on getting better right now in this moment. Like, you still got the draft to come. I like our chances, bro, just against anybody. Like I said, we do have we've got a hell of a schedule, which is exciting, which means a lot of big games. And it also means just a lot of you know, hard battles. And I think that's good to be battle tested. So I don't even like talking about Super Bowl expectations. We always talk about win the division first. Win the South first, host the playoff game, win that playoff game, and then you can start, hey, dog, you know, then you can start chitting and chatting like that. But I do like this, like, from our standpoint, I'll give you a little breakdown. I love our defense, young defense. We got Yaya Cancellini up front with Vita still. We got Tay back, which was huge. Obviously, we got the safety tandem back. A guy that I like a lot is also Zion McCollum. He was year two last year. He'll probably be battling for the corner spot since they traded Carlton. And, you know, and then on the offensive side of the ball, we got a young line that did more weight, man. They were put in a rough spot, you know, once we learned late that Jensen was not going to be able to play.
Yeah.
And for those guys to just be able to, like, grow together, get better together, was awesome to see. Got an all-pro Hall of Future Hall of Famer in Big Werfio. You know, got a future Hall of Famer in Mike. Got a hell of a 1A run receiver in CG, and then obviously Rashad White. So I love our chances going forward. And, you know, I think it's just about getting together with Liam Cohen's offense and getting the run game going earlier than we did the last season. Really finding the flow with that. So it'll help with the mirage of the offense and just, again, playing for each other, having guys step up. So it's exciting times, though.
I get it, too. Like, psychologically, not wanting to just say, hey, we're going to be in that. Last year, that was the thing. Like you referenced, I mean, nobody expected a thing out of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Nobody expected a thing.
All the dead cap. Baker Mayfield was getting tossed around by Carolina, L.A. I mean, Carlton said it himself. You know,
right.
He expected that defense to wreck shit and for the Bucs to be competitive. So it's somehow like keeping that mentality, even though you were a couple plays from the NFC Championship game, even though now guys are paid, staying in that mind frame from the quarterback all the way through.
Yes, sir. That's all it's about.
I mean, just is the offense going to be that much different, you think, with the new coordinator?
No, it's not going to be that. Like, the scheme is not that much different. Obviously, terminology might be a little different. Like, you might have little small details in there. But in terms of, like, actual scheme, now it's like mid zone, outside zone, you know, beat it off the play action. It's kind of a similar scheme. So, and Bake played with him in 21. So that obviously helps continuity there. And it's cool that, again, like, we got everybody back now. Everybody's a lot closer. We'll be able to train with each other a lot earlier on, especially in the offseason program, and just get things going in the right direction.
How's life for you? 9-year-old daughter now?
It's great, man. Like I said, I'm great by a house out here in Tampa. And just, you know, taking it, I got a couple weddings I got to go to, but man, enjoying life with my daughter. She's 9 now, and which is insane. I was actually just with her at her gymnastics tournament up in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So that's a blessing, obviously, man, but really just trying to take everything. I know it's so cliche, bro, but just like living the present moment, just taking a day at a time, you know, get my body right, get my mind right, and just prepare to have the best season of my life coming up.
Dude, it does fly. I know they're all cliches, but when they say the time flies when you have kids.
And yeah, playing, it flies by, bro. It really does. Because she's going to be 10 next year, which is crazy. Double digits.
All right, well, good for you. I can't thank you enough for always catching up like this.
And, of course.
Hopefully you can get together with Patrick Laird and discuss, you know, whether free will exists.
Free will. Don't get me started with him, bro. He's hilarious. I will, though.
But where do you stand on free will?
I believe that we as people have free will, but I'm not even going to bring religion into it, but there's some being or entity, however you want to perceive it, or if you want to say the universe, however people say it, that in the midst of our free will, its love is so generous to which we can't even comprehend that it might put you back on the path that was meant for you. You still have the free will to mess that path up or to stay on that path. But I feel like in life, it still somehow finds a way that it puts you back on that path. So I think free will is true. I think fate in a sense is true, but I believe that, you know, obviously free will can sometimes stop that fate if it's drastic enough. But I feel like fate is that being that, you know, just guides you. And like, you know, everything works out how it's supposed to work out. Like the delay is not the denial. You know what I mean? So that's my stance on it.
That's a much better argument than the one I tried to articulate to Patrick. Two highlights in at Cigar City Brewing. So, you know, but yeah, That was perfectly said.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Well, thanks so much, Chase. Let's do it again.
Yes, sir, bro. You take it easy, Tyler. Appreciate you, bro.